from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How are you doing?
I'm good. Where was you at yesterday?
I had to have a doctor's appointment in the morning. You know, sometimes it just, you cannot get those things to work with your schedule. So I had to take the day off.
And I came here and looked around. I mean, not that I didn't have fun
yesterday.
Wait.
You weren't here and looked around? You mean in your bedroom? At home?
In my office.
Oh, okay. If you came into the office and you weren't here, hello?
You weren't here. Chef wasn't here. Chef, where was you at? Oh. All right. Let's get to it. Nobody wants to talk to me today. Let's get to Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
It is our state's primary election day. Have you filled out your ballot yet? If it's still on your kitchen counter, you have until 8 o'clock tonight to drop it off at a ballot box. It's too late to put it in the mail. Cairo 7 TV spoke with some voters who waited until the last minute.
Lots of candidates. Try to sort through it all. Make sure we have an understanding of who's who and what's what.
In Seattle, voters are going to be deciding the top two candidates for mayor, two city council seats, and city attorney, among other things. In King County, voters are choosing a county executive, three members of the county council, and a property tax levy. Pierce County voters are weighing in on dozens of high-profile elections, including mayoral races in Tacoma, Eatonville, Buckley, and Bonnie Lake. And Snohomish County also has some high-profile races, including some mayoral ones, yet the turnout is abysmal.
People don't care. I was told yesterday that some folks text in, they say, I only vote for the president and the governor. Some folks said, I'm tired of elections. Some folks said that they need to take a year off from elections. And then we will have a topic in which you and I will discuss. And then we get bombarded with text messages saying, oh, you shouldn't have voted them in office. And clearly, this is an opportunity. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have an opinion if you don't vote. I'm not one of those. But at the same time, when you start talking about in the teens, 13 and 14% turnout so far for voting, what am I missing here? And I also wonder, what percentage of the folks not paying their rent in these places, King County, are deciding not to vote as well. So this is interesting. I am shocked. And people said to me, well, gee, this has always been that way. Okay, sure, it has.
Actually, last year we had a record turnout.
Hasn't things changed? Well, last year we know what year it was. It was also in a presidential year, and it was also it was different. But haven't we learned? Haven't we learned? Like, aren't things, if you will, they're different today? If there is ever a time for there to be record turnout, especially in King County, you would think it would be now. So, Ursula, I'll throw it to you. What are we missing here?
What's the disconnect?
Yeah,
it is a disconnect. So when we talk about the state of affairs, whether it's in Seattle and King County in particular, we talk about the homelessness and crime going up. I understand the outrage. And the dominant theme is always lack of leadership. You voted these people in. There is disdain for the current city council and the mayor. A lot of talking about people desperately needing change. And then here you are, you've got time to actually have a say in the matter, and too many people are not willing. Is it just filling out the ballot, taking a few minutes to fill it out and get it into the mail? For me, that is equally as outrageous. And I am someone who wasn't able to vote before 1996 because I wasn't an American citizen. This is one of your most important rights. You have a chance, and you can say, oh, this is just a primary. I'm going to wait until November. No. Right now, the primary decides which two candidates will be voting on this fall. So if two lousy candidates get the most votes, then you cannot complain in November that you don't like who won because you didn't take part.
I'm going to share with you some texts. I know how you like the texts, but let's hear from the people, from what they're saying right now. 360 says, always Democrat voted in there. There is no point to vote. There's one. Another one comes in and says, does it matter if I vote or not in local elections? Everyone votes party line and things don't change.
I don't vote party line.
I for sure don't vote party line. I don't.
Let me just talk to people specifically in Seattle. If you have been outraged about what is going on and the repeat offender problem, and you're frustrated because you feel like Pete Holmes has not been holding people accountable, let's just say that is one race. There are three people who are considered leading candidates in that race. One is a very distinctive difference. If you want to say, and one is a Republican, if you've said, there's never any, it's a one party state. Well, here's your chance. But yet, we're talking about possibly a turnout, and hopefully it'll be a change by this afternoon, which it usually is. But as of yesterday, we were below 20%. They were hoping for 45% turnout. We should be talking about close to 100% turnout. Why does anyone give up the right to vote? I don't get it.
Just blame my generation, Ursula. Folks like me who have not turned in their ballot yet. It's all of us younger people. We wait till the last minute, so I'm sure there'll be a tidal wave of ballots from millennials and Gen Z folks in the air who are just rushing to the drop boxes this afternoon.
Okay, you're trying to be optimistic. I know many people of my generation who also wait the last minute. If you wait till the last minute, that's fine. Just don't let it get to be tomorrow and you say, well, darn it, why didn't I vote?
I want to put a bow on this, and this is zero sarcasm. I'm being dead serious when I say this. Over the last 2 days, we talked about it yesterday, and now we're talking about it again. I'm shocked. I'm shocked, and I'm also disappointed. I'm disappointed at the responses that we're getting, because one thing about our text line, and you guys email us, you guys keep it a buck with us. You guys are very honest with us. I never thought that I would get so many responses of, it doesn't matter. Our vote doesn't matter. A lot of responses of, the primaries don't matter anyways. Like, I really, truly thought that we were beyond that type of conversation. And Ursula, everything that you just said, and especially when you start talking about the city attorney, Pete Holmes, and I'm not saying...
Or the mayoral race. But we're talking about, you have 15 people, you got to narrow it down to two. It is possible that you're going to end up with two really lousy candidates because people sat it out. How's that?
Yeah. Well, let's be optimistic. We'll come back to this here pretty soon, and hopefully that everybody was just waiting till the last minute and they wanted to say, ha ha, we were just joking. We were waiting to get it in the last minute. And hopefully those numbers are up. Your guess right now, call it right now. What percent will King County get?
35%. 35%. But we're going to talk to State Elections Director coming up at 10:35, and we will see. Maybe we're all off, I think part of the deal is also, it's summer. People are out and about after the pandemic. It's summertime. I hate this August primary, too. Okay, let's move on. As the Delta variant continues to spread like wildfire, intensive care units and emergency rooms at local hospitals are now filling up. State Hospital Association CEO Cassie Sauer says it is demoralizing for doctors and nurses to care for very sick COVID patients who haven't been vaccinated.
People have said many times to us, what can I do to support my frontline healthcare workers? You know, I want to bring them cookies. I want to bring them pizza. And what we keep saying is, don't get COVID. That's the best way to support them. So at this point, get vaccinated so you don't get COVID.
The tightening capacity is also one of the reasons some hospital groups are now mandating that their healthcare workers get the shots. Dr. Nathaniel Schlicker is the president of the Washington Medical Association.
Patients should come to the hospital expecting that they don't leave sicker. You know, they shouldn't have to worry, are they going to get COVID from us?
Well, day by day, we are starting to see more and more vaccinations happening with employers and businesses, and that's going to start being a thing. I wonder, Ursula, if it's going to be a thing that if you want to get that elective surgery, let's say you want to get that elective surgery going there, will you have to be vaccinated then? Because there has to be some type of safety net for those in the healthcare.
Well, healthcare. So let's just talk about hospital and healthcare workers. Should they be vaccinated? Should it be mandatory?
Yes. And here's why I say yes. I asked this question before, and I'll ask it again. If one of my loved ones was in the hospital and they were being cared for by a healthcare person, would I want that person to be vaccinated? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it is true that when you go to the hospital, you assume that you're not going to get sick, even sicker. So let's say you're going in there for a surgery and you're not going to get sick with COVID because someone there is not vaccinated and is putting you at risk because they've chosen that. So healthcare workers, I totally understand. Kaiser Permanente and MultiCare Tacoma have announced they will be requiring healthcare workers to be vaccinated. UW Medicine says they already have a 90% vaccination rate. But again, why does it have to get to this point? Why not just do it unless you have a legitimate health reason not to? And before anyone says, well, I heard from such and such who works at a hospital, and it's not all COVID patients. They're not saying hospitals are full from COVID. This is trauma season. So people are dealing with gunshot victims and drownings. And then we're also dealing with people who have had to delay their care. And so these non-urgent procedures were postponed during the pandemic. They're happening right now. So the ICU beds have been filled, but it's COVID patients using about, let's say, under 12%. But hospitals are getting full, and we're back to that situation where we were last year. After an assault inside a bathroom at the King County Courthouse last week, there's renewed debate over what to do about the big homeless camp at City Hall Park next door. One proposal is a $50 million program through the Public Defender Association's Just Care program, and the plan is to lease 150 hotel rooms with a contract paid by the city and county equally and move the homeless people into shelters in a couple of weeks. But this courthouse worker tells Cairo 7 TV she's going to believe it when she sees it.
Honestly, the history of what I've seen going on in Seattle with council, government, what they say they're going to try and do and what actually follows up, I don't have any hopes for it.
King County Councilmember Gene Colwells is proposing a land swap between Seattle City Hall and King County so that this park, which is owned by Seattle, can be under county leadership.
I don't know who that lady was, but I'm mad at her because she said exactly what I was going to say about this topic. Believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm. There's always a lot of talk. It reminds me of that little dog in the neighborhood that's always barking. And don't go nowhere. Just stays right there in the yard. Just barking. You're just barking for no reason. And in this case, they just coming up with stuff. We gonna do. We're about to do. We're thinking about doing. We have a plan to do. And nothing ends up happening. So I'm with that person. She could have done my job.
Yeah, well, that was a courthouse worker because she's been told over and over again something's going to happen. I like the idea of a land swap. Yeah. The city of Seattle can't do anything with it, so let the county deal with it. This is the county building, the courthouse. I mean, that is the seat of county government, and it looks like a toilet.
Why not just unincorporate all of Seattle then, right? If Seattle can't handle the problems, just why not just cede all the land back to the county?
Okay, well, that's an argument used when you want to just give up, right?
Well, isn't that what this is?
Entirely. But in this case, it actually makes sense because that county courthouse building is run by the county. It is county employees generally who are there. It is the county council that does their business there, right? So it is in their best interest because apparently the city of Seattle, you know, it's not going to change with a murder, an attempted sexual assault.
Death of a dog.
Death of a dog. I mean, none of these things seem to be moving with any sort of moving them with any sort of urgency. So the county is like, let's just make it our problem, okay? And we'll deal with it. And at this point, I'm okay with that. Okay, this is breaking news, and this is not local, but we need to say something about this. An investigation into New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has found that he did sexually harass multiple current and former state government employees. State Attorney General Letitia James announced the findings about an hour ago.
The independent investigation found that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women, many of whom were young women, by engaging in unwanted groping, kisses, hugging, and by making inappropriate comments.
The investigation was done by two outside lawyers who found that the Cuomo administration was a hostile work environment and that it was rife with fear and intimidation. Cuomo faced multiple allegations last winter, and he has always denied touching anyone inappropriately.
Attorney General Letitia James reminds me of my mama. My mama ain't never said nothing, accused me of anything, and she was wrong. Same thing with the Attorney General Letitia James. Whenever she says something, you know that she's not wrong. And in this case, Cuomo, he should have resigned before. He absolutely needs to resign now. And Ursula, if he's not held accountable for this, then there is a clear line in the sand forever that says, I have money and power. I can do what I want.
He is truly sounding like a criminal. And I understand that he has not had his day in court, but we're talking about 180 people interviewed, 74,000 documents. The report corroborates claims by 11 different women, nine of whom were state employees. So I think it's not only should he resign, he should have resigned months ago when we were first talking about this, but somehow stayed in there, just stay in long enough. People get distracted. We're not even talking about the whole nursing home scandal. We're not even talking about, but I mean, there is like one thing after another. Why this man is still in office? It's atrocious.
Play that receipt that President Biden said. Play that receipt. We need to hear the receipt,
yeah,
so Ursula.
He was asked in April by George Stephanopoulos what should happen if these allegations were true.
I know you've said you want the investigation to continue. If the investigation confirms the claims of the women, should he resign?
Yes, I think he'd probably end up being prosecuted too.
Absolutely, 100% agree.
That's a receipt.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I got
to see. So I'm waiting to see if Andrew Cuomo holds a news conference today. He needs to, and if he is not stepping down, he absolutely needs to be impeached. I mean, this is just, if this is allowed to continue, yeah, you're right. This will continue to set precedents that are very hard to overcome. Okay, still ahead. If people don't want to get vaccinated, should they end up paying more if they end up in the hospital? We'll tackle that issue. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. The U.S. has now reached President Biden's goal of 70% of all American adults being at least partially vaccinated against the coronavirus. But in 17 states today, vaccination rates are still under 50%. So here is the question for all of you. Should unvaccinated Americans be paying higher insurance rates? And this is something that was proposed by Dr. Elizabeth Rosenthal, who is the editor-in-chief of Kaiser Health News. And she argues in the New York Times that all the lotteries, the free donuts, the beer, well, they're not going to get us to herd immunity. And she says it's time to drop the carrot and pick up the stick. And that would come in the form of paying more for hospital stays, which I think is not right.
And why is that? Why do you think that's right? Tell me why. Well, I want to hear it.
Well, I know that you want me to bring up what I said in the in the morning meeting. Well, I'm going to use myself as an example. I know that there are things that I could be doing to make myself healthier. I should stop my sugar addiction, for one thing. Because if I continue at this pace, there could be health effects that really will make keeping me alive much more expensive. So let's just say, I mean, I'm not even a pre-diabetic yet, but let's just say I do go down that route. I mean, I know that there are things that I could do right now. I could be running more. I could be doing, you know, whatever it is, you know, to lose weight. That would make me healthier, for example. But if I don't do those things, should that mean now that I'm going to be paying a higher copay or that I should be penalized in some way for not doing that?
Sure. I mean, I think an insurance premium, hear me out here. I think an insurance premium should totally make someone pay more for their habits. So, for an example, your Safeway card at your grocery store, if you're the type of groceries and alcohol, if you're buying all that stuff and then somebody else doesn't, yeah, your insurance premium should be higher than the other. But let me just stay with your line of thinking right now. You're talking about someone who maybe is a smoker. You're not a smoker, but someone who likes a couple of sugar cookies and things like that. Now, what you do as a smoker or eating cookies or whatever the case might be, that doesn't impact me. That doesn't
That's
impact
not true,
you.
Though.
Well,
for one thing, secondhand smoke absolutely would impact other people.
Ursula, you know dang on well we're not smoking inside. Try again, Ursula. You're not smoking inside. Let me hear you say that.
Try again. Are you kidding me? Have you been to a casino? Yeah, you're smoking inside.
Oh, my goodness. You're grasping for straws
now. No, I'm not, though.
Secondhand smoke is also not contagious and cannot affect, like, all of your community.
I mean, Ursula, is it possible? Is it possible for a coworker to come to work unvaccinated and absolutely infect everyone with COVID and it cause a problem for everybody there? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. But don't do the yes or no's because
I won't.
You're only going to one specific thing. What I'm trying to say is, now where do we stop? If we say, well, because you didn't get vaccinated, it's going to cost you this much more to pay for what is like a $17,000 per day. So you're going to have to pay more than someone who was vaccinated.
Right. And you don't, it doesn't have to be that way. Right. So okay, how about this?
Chef is smiling. Okay, wait.
You did just really kind of destroy your own argument. But okay. I'll give you a pass there.
Okay.
Hold it. Okay. So what I think should happen, instead of saying you are going to be penalized and to heck with you, you just pay out of the nose because you were, you know, not willing to do the vaccine. Instead of doing it that way, how about incentivize even, you know, for those who get the vaccine, then it's going to be, I don't want to start parsing out who gets the best health care and who doesn't. And hey, if you, because you listened to people who were giving you bad information and you chose not to get the vaccine and then you get really sick, I don't want to penalize you at the hospital. No.
Her argument, I think this is, it's a good one, and I think there's great arguments on both sides. It says, why should patients be kept financially unharmed from what's now a preventable hospitalization thanks to a vaccine that the government paid for and made available for free? She notes that, by the way, people who do not have insurance, the government is covering the cost of their care. People know that, and they're still getting unvaccinated, right? People know that if... my insurance company is waiving all the copays and deductibles, et cetera, right now from my COVID-19 treatment. She's saying, if we know financially that we have to pay, we'll get the vaccine. I don't buy that argument, though. I don't buy, because people who are not getting vaccinated are taking a calculated risk. They're either taking the risk of believing that the vaccine doesn't work or saying, you know what, I'm healthy, or I don't think this is a big deal. It's not going to impact me. I don't think anyone is going to make a rational calculation and say, oh, my employer's insurance is going to make me pay through the nose, so that's going to force me to get it. You don't anticipate getting into a car wreck. You think it's not going to happen to you, right?
100%, exactly.
It's the same thing here. I don't think this is an effective stick.
No.
I guarantee you that this conversation would flip and switch if I change who was getting infected and who was going to the hospital without the vaccine.
Okay, explain
so,
that.
No, let me explain. Okay, no, I'm going to explain it. If I change the people to undocumented immigrants in this country are going to the hospital without vaccinations, and do you guys think that they should be able to continue to get the same health care and the same...
my answer... Yes.
No, I know what your answer is. I know what your answer is, and I know what my answer is.
Which is why would I change it, though, whether it's unvaccinated, undocumented, or you?
You and I both know it changes then. It changes for a lot of people based on who it is in
this
country.
Now, you just argued my point, which is it shouldn't change. Hospital care is hospital care.
Well, going back to what you said before, $17,000 a day for unvaccinated being in the hospital for hospital stays, as opposed to a vaccine that is free that could have prevented hospitalization. So if you want to continue forward and being okay with the $17,000 a day that could be preventable, then I'm going to use this precedent from this day forward and every other argument we have in the future. You're okay saying that $17,000 a day for these individuals.
You're misconstruing my argument. No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to say that whether or not someone rides a motorcycle, I'm not going to ride a motorcycle, but if someone rides a motorcycle and decides they're going to ride a motorcycle without a helmet and gets in a very bad accident, I'm not going to make them pay more from the, you know, now insurance companies will make them, if they're lucky enough to survive, they'll have to pay more later because to get insured because they have shown, you know, reckless behavior in the past. But I'm talking about someone going into the hospital for an illness, whether or not they chose to be vaccinated or not, should not be treated differently and should not be charged differently.
A conversation that's going to be coming up here pretty soon when back to school comes. And this is why I'm telling it now, because there's somebody that has little kids out there and you know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of parents who have to pick up their child from daycare now because they have a little sniffle or maybe they coughed one time. And what's happening is a lot of people that are essential workers are having a hard time with their kids going to school or daycare because their kids are unvaccinated. So this is the problem with this continued unvaccination of people that is going around throughout this country. And it has an impact on others. So yes, your choice to not get vaccinated impacts others.
That I agree. That I wholeheartedly agree.
You're getting soft. You're starting to agree with me.
No. I'm just talking about something very specific, whether it should cost you more for your health care.
All right. Coming up next, and we need to talk. What is something that you don't know how to do, but you should know how to do, and you're kind of embarrassed about it? We discuss that next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 10 o'clock, a flight attendant says something to someone flying on the plane that left them in tears. We discuss that next at 10 o'clock. But right now, Ursula, we need to talk. Name something. And by the way, you guys can text in 98973, the State Roofing text line. Name something that you should know how to do, but you don't know how to do. And this is a trust tree, Ursula, so don't be going back telling anybody this. Name something you should know how to do, but you don't know how to do. I'll go first. I cannot replace windshield wipers.
Mm.
I can't, not to save my life. Every time I mean, on this
car.
Why
are you chuckling, Chef?
I know. I'll get to him in a second.
Okay.
Anyways, whenever in the past that I needed to replace windshield wipers, I always go to the auto parts store and I say, my man, want to help your boy out, man? I need some help with the windshield wipers. And I always have a little cash to tip them. That's how I have been replacing. I don't know how to do it. Every time I look at it, I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I do the same thing with headlights too. But anyways, there it is. What do you got, Ursula?
Oh, I have a bunch. I have a bunch, and they all have to do with cars, which is why AAA for us is so good. I mean, for me in particular, my husband knows how to change a lot of stuff.
AAA.
But whether it's changing the oil in my car, don't know how to do that. Change a flat tire, don't know how to do that. I suppose if I had to, I would. If there was absolutely no chance of AAA ever coming, I would figure it out. It would probably take me a whole day.
Yeah.
Like charging up your battery again if your car dies. I'm always afraid that I'm going to get the wrong.
Shocked
and
red.
Sparks will be flying. I know. Chef is just cringing here. Okay, these are all things that I realize I should know.
That's not, you know what, Ursula? That's not bad. I'm going to tell you, that's not really bad. Now, I just want to and hear what Chef's going to admit.
Okay.
Gee, Chef? I laugh because I can't change windshield wipers either, but I don't go for help. Like, spatially, I look at the windshield wiper and I take the old one off. That one makes sense. But then I try and put the thing back on and I can't figure out which way it goes. Like, I love fishing, but I can only tie like two knots. And if my wife tries to watch me like tie a knot or put on the windshield wiper, she is just rolling her eyes like, dude, it goes right there. How can you not see that? So I feel you, G, but I'm just sitting in the parking lot for half an hour like that thing trying to jam it in there because I'm too ashamed of my inability to go get some help. I would say like one of the things that's always bothered me, I never learned how to do division like in school. Ooh, I cannot divide.
I can do.
If you give me a number that is not even or can't be divided by like 2, 3, or 10, and it's impossible for me. Somehow I scored decently, you know, like on the tests in school, but just never learned how to divide.
Huh.
I'll have to stop teaching math after like kindergarten.
Okay, so what that I understand, and that's where Kumon is helpful. When we know that we don't know how to do these things, do you have this desire? Like, because I keep saying, well, when I have time, I'm going to really have someone just show me all.
No, no. No, I'm gonna stop you right there. No, I have zero desire to learn how to replace windshield wipers. I just don't.
Are you good with everything else when it comes to your car?
Hell no.
He knows how to clean them, not how to fix them.
I am just not handy. And I'm gonna tell you the worst. This is the worst. Is when we're maybe at a get together and there's, you know, there's couples there. And fellas, I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen to you, if you are in my category. And Lillian says, oh, yeah, G's not handy at all. Like, hold up. Take the bass out your voice, Lillian. Take the bass out your voice. You see what I'm saying? Like, to me, telling everybody at the party that your man isn't handy is like telling everybody at the party that you're.
But you know
it's
how
like
to dress.
Saying other things,
you know
right?
how to dress. No, you know how to dress. I will admit.
Thanks, Ursula.
No,
thanks,
you
Ursula.
Do.
I know how to dress. We were talking about real pride stuff. Like, have you ever had your significant other tell people at a party that her man ain't handy? And then all the fellas is looking around like, you need a handyman? You know what I'm saying? It hurts. And how dare somebody text in 425 and says, gee, you should know how to swim. How dare you?
Well, I'll teach you.
Coming up next, we find out what a flight attendant said to make somebody cry. It's Gene Ursula.